Toks Knusum, Salamat, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, your host. Today, we speak with Christina Michelle from Aware about Denim Day, an annual wearing of denim on the last days of April in support of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And Aware is sponsoring a local fashion show in support. Spring looks to be here, finally. And it's time for the Juno Audubon Spring Bird Walks. We chat with Brenda and Doug about tomorrow's walk on the west side of the Mendenhall River. Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer is here from UAS to share about upcoming events and commencement happening on Sunday, May 3rd. And CBJ Parks and Recreation is here. We'll chat with Deputy Director Lauren Varelli and new Parks Director Mark Wheeler. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. And if you didn't catch the special re-airing of Songwriters on Songwriters yesterday, featuring Taylor Dallas Vidic and composer-collaborator Spencer Edgars, sharing stories and songs from Taylor's debut album, Cat and Mouse, it's now posted on the homepage at ktoo.org. Go check it out, and you'll find the full release of Taylor's album today, wherever you get your music. And now a quick Juno Afternoon calendar delight, all about the upcoming Chilcat Challenge.
I'm Gershon Cohen, race marshal of the 5th annual Chilcat Challenge Triathlon that will be held in Haines this year on May 23rd, the same weekend as the Haines Craft Beer Festival. The Chilcat Challenge Triathlon is a 40-mile paddle, bike, run in and alongside the Chilcat River, through the Chilcat Bald Eagle Preserve, past Haines, with a finish line in beautiful Letnikoff Cove. The race can be run solo or in teams of two or three. There are great prizes for the fastest women, men, and team finishers, and your registration includes a cool t-shirt and a delicious catered dinner at the awards banquet following the race. The race is capped to the first 100 entries, and there are about 20 entries still available. So go now to www.chilcatchallengetriathlon.com for more information and to register online. We hope to see you in Haines on Memorial Day weekend for the Chilcat Challenge Triathlon.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us for a behind-the-scenes look in the studio on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm Boston Christopher. On Wednesday, April 29th, Aware will host the Denim Day Sexual Assault Awareness Fashion Show, an event marking International Denim Day in Juno. This year's event marks a shift in local advocacy as Aware explicitly is calling upon men in the community to take a substantial role in the movement to end sexual violence. And here to share more about this from Aware is Miss Christina Michelle. Gunath Cheesh, welcome in Wasiatia. How are you, Christina?
I am doing very well, Boston. Thanks for having me.
Also host of Culture Rich Conversations, which airs occasionally here on KTO on Tuesdays. You did a wonderful two-parter this month on healthy relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, healthy relationships specifically in rural communities that Juno qualifies as rural. So really great guests from Aware and also Tony Porter, CEO of A Call to Men out of Harlem, New York.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. We've gotten some great feedback on those episodes, as well as another episode we aired a couple times this month with some other folks from Aware and other support organizations around Juno, the Child Advocacy Center, Clinkett and Haida. You can check all those out on our website at kto.org. Pretty great. So Denim Day. So what is Denim Day?
Denim Day is the last Wednesday of every April. And as you mentioned, it marks the end of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And Denim Day got started after an incident in the 90s with a young lady who was raped by her driving instructor. She was 18 years old, and he was convicted. He did go to prison, but then he appealed, saying that there was no way that he could have removed her jeans alone because they were so tight, and asserting that she must have helped, therefore it was consensual, and he actually was released based on that argument. And when her community heard about it, they protested to no end. They protested until it was picked up in the United States and in other countries, and ultimately the man was resentenced to prison.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's great.
So
that's
on the anniversary of the day that the conviction was overturned, that's the day that is known as Denim Day.
I see. Okay. That's fantastic. You can go to denimday.org, I believe, for more information about it, because it's a national movement. It's not just a Juno movement.
Absolutely.
But Aware is getting involved and has been involved with this. So you're doing a special fashion show, and you're calling on men to show up. And I do want to mention, I did shorten your link just a little bit so that people can go and sign up.
Thank you.
So you can go to tinyurl.com/denimjuno. That's tinyurl.com/denimjuno, and you can see the Google form to sign up and also participate in this event, which is next Wednesday. So tell me what you're looking for. What do you want from the community for this day?
Well, I first want to thank everyone who has signed up. We have 41 models already signed up, and then about 10 people who are volunteering to help backstage, and so 50 people saying that they're going to support. We're just so excited. And what we want at this point from the community is just attendance, is for you to come out. It is at the Crystal Saloon, but we do have permission for people to bring their families, as long as the children are accompanied by a parent. Mm-hmm. Families can be there. And as far as men, we want men to be there in support. We are still accepting models, especially if they're men. So you can sign up through that link that you mentioned. But mostly, you know, I think of a mentor of mine who she for years went through being abused, you know, by her partner, sexual abuse and physical abuse. And she just reached a point where she had it because it was so hard to get a conviction. And she was like constantly on social media telling her story and just so angry, and people stopped listening. And the feedback that she got was, we don't have anything to do. Like, we care, but we don't know what to do. Mm. And so, you know, thinking about that, this is the thing to do. I think we all feel that way, is like, we know what's happening, but we don't know what to do about it. And if that's you, then a good place to start is coming out, supporting this event, signing up if you want to volunteer, and then you'll learn more there.
And you want the models to wear some denim, obviously. And then also there's going to be like T-shirts that with sayings on them.
Yeah, we're super excited about the T-shirts. So that's really the fashion part of it. So,
okay.
Yeah, the models are it's a very simple fashion show, by the way. It's nothing like wearable arts or anything like that. But the models are wearing jeans, their own jeans, whatever they choose. And then we are providing T-shirts that Aware is supplying, and also that volunteers have made, like, with, you know, really cool statement slogans. And then we have a survivor line. So several T-shirts that survivors have created as well.
Okay, and you said this was at the Crystal Saloon.
Yes.
And what time is it at?
The Crystal Saloon is open anytime after 4, but we are considering the doors open for the event at 5:30, and it starts at 6 p.m.
Okay, it starts at 6. And what else can people do besides obviously show up? I always think about this, too. I've talked with the folks that we did that special episode with near the beginning of the month, and we reared in the middle of the month. But, you know, it's not just April where we need to be thinking about these things. And how can we think about this throughout the year? How can we be bringing awareness at all times? Obviously, it's nice to have this time to sort of say, hey, this is, you know, a time to be more aware. But then what can people do throughout the year? Obviously, they can go to awareak.org. And what's on that site that's available to folks who want to support or who have been assaulted?
Yeah, that's a great question, Boston. So on our website, we have the resources that we offer year round. And so, of course, that's how to contact our advocates. And also we have legal resources there. We have classes that happen a couple of times a year, so healthy relationships for women. And then we have our JCAP program, which is the Juno Choice and Accountability Program for men. We do have healthy relationships for couples. And, you know, we just completed that first course, and we plan to do it again. So that's the best place to connect with us in terms of what's being offered at any given time. Denimday.org, as you mentioned, is another place that you can go anytime for information. And then at the event, the Silent Book Club of Juno is going to bring a list of resources. And so, like, books that you can read on sexual assault advocacy. And if you can't make it, then you can just email info@awareak.org and ask for that list, and we'll send it to you.
Oh, that's so great. That's easy peasy. And you can get all the details of how to contact Aware at awareak.org, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So once again, Denim Day is next Wednesday, April 29th. Is that right?
Yes.
And it's going to be at 6 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon. And you can bring your family.
And if for some reason, because some people don't want to come into the bar, or they're not allowed to come in, but we will have chalk, and Prevention manager Natalie Watson actually had this great idea to involve people who aren't coming into the bar, but you can still come, and we'll give you chalk if you want to write an empowering slogan or something on the sidewalk.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're also asking people to bring signs if you want to bring a sign, and we're just going to line them up kind of, you know.
Oh, that's
on
great.
The sidewalk as well.
I love that. That's so good. That is Denim Day Fashion Show from Aware next Wednesday, April 29th. Again, if you're interested in being a model, they're still accepting some models. You can go to tinyurl.com/denimjuno, and you can sign yourself up and let them know that you want to be a part of that and get out and make it happen.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Christina, for coming in and telling us about it. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Boston.
Gwyneth Cheesh. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Speaking of Taylor Dallas Vidic's album coming out today, let's listen to the title track from the album, On the Mouse Side, the cat and mouse version, or the mouse version of Cat and Mouse, here on Juno Afternoon.
He speaks slow, knows where each word's bound. He walks in a steady line, moves the way he's moved 100 times before, simply practiced before he knew that he'd be mine.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. Brenda Wright and Doug Woodby from Juno Audubon join me now in the studio. Spring has surely sprung when we get the bird walks a-going, is what I say, Brenda. Good cheese for being here. How are you today?
Oh, the sun has been in my eyes. I am great.
I know. It feels so good. Get that vitamin D right in our bodies. And Doug Wasiati, how are you today?
Yeah, doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So this is a cool thing that happens every spring, and they go until like the end of June-ish?
Yes, the end of June. Every Saturday, something's happening.
Every Saturday, something's happening. And you go all over town, right, Brenda?
Oh, yeah. We go all over town. And then we have a special event on May 9th. That's a Global Migration Day.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a kind of a whole different subject there. We might have to come back and explain how we do all this stuff at the community garden.
Oh, yeah. That would be fantastic. And then is there something special birding going on this Sunday that you know about?
No, not that I know of, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking there was something I saw come across my desk, and now I forget what it is, but I thought maybe you would know as the Audubon folks. But so this walk tomorrow, is this the first one, or we already had a couple?
No, we had one already, for
sure.
We had
one, okay. Yep. And so, Doug, you're going to be leading this one tomorrow.
That's right.
Okay, so where are you going to be tomorrow?
We're going to be on the west side of Mendenhall. People can park at the end of Industrial Boulevard, and some people call it the Bad Dog Trail.
Okay,
it's a really nice open area of wetland meadows, and it's been very rich with bird life in the last 2 weeks. So I think it's going to be a good walk.
Yeah, so they're starting to show up, right? I mean, we're getting all these birds come back. You sent me a couple pictures, Brenda, this week. You sent me. Can you tell me a little bit about these that you sent?
Yeah, the dark-eyed junco lives with us year-round.
Okay.
But he just started singing a couple weeks ago. And so it's really nice because if any other bird sounds different, slightly like him, you know for sure that the junco is the first to sing here.
What do they do in the winter when they're not singing? Do they just be quiet during the winter?
Yeah, but they do tend to hang out in little groups, you know, 10 or more sometimes.
I see.
And they dash around trying to find some nice good seeds or something like that to eat.
I see.
The insect-eating birds don't like our winters.
And what's the best way to identify the dark-eyed junco?
Well, it's one of the smallest. It's got a completely dark head.
Yeah.
And dark all the way down to its chest. And then chestnut on its sides, on the belly.
Yeah.
And a black tail. That the best thing is because when they fly away, the outer feathers on the tail, the dark tail, are white. So if you see that flash going into the bushes, that's always a junco.
And they're how big are they? They're probably not very big, right? Three or four inches? 3 inches? Okay.
Yeah.
And then what's this other one you sent me? This is the, what was it called? It was called the something with an S. Hang on 1 second. I can tell you what it was.
Not a Steller's Jay.
No, it wasn't that one. It was... oh, shoot. I can't remember because I just have the picture. I don't have the name of it. That's too bad. Let me see here. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to get it because I want to know this information because these are the birds that are here, right?
Yeah.
I guess if you see it, you'll be able to tell, right? Like it's this one right here.
Yes, it's the Savannah Sparrow.
The Savannah Sparrow. Thank you. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the Savannah Sparrow.
Doug, you have a comment about that one?
Well, they just came to town a few days ago. At least I saw my first one a few days ago.
Yeah, me too.
This morning.
The Savannah means they love the grasslands best.
Okay.
And right now they're all spiffed up because they're sparrows, so they're not really brightly colored or have lots of dark patterns. But they have this beautiful yellow on their face right now.
Okay.
Because they want to show all the ladies how beautiful they are.
I love that. And they have sort of like a speckled on their body?
Yeah, they have stripes on their chest, but there's no big dark spot, which helps you identify that. It's different than the song sparrow.
Okay.
They both have, lots of sparrows have streaks on their breasts.
And where would I see the Savannah sparrow?
Right now you'd see it on the west side of the river.
West side of the river. So we're expecting to possibly see some of these tomorrow, Doug?
I hope so. Yeah, they're appropriately named Savannah. You find them in grasslands.
Okay.
In fact, you find them in every state of the Union.
Oh, really?
50 states.
Okay. Yeah. Where do they go when do they leave here? They're not in Juneau in the winter?
No, they go south.
They go south where it's a little bit warmer?
Yes.
Like the smart birds do?
Well, you know, if there's 2 feet of snow on top of all your grass seed, it's a little hard to get a meal.
Yeah, I guess you'd be searching pretty hard for that. What else might we see tomorrow, Doug, out there?
Well, there's a lot of things we're hoping to see. This has been a bluebird spring. We've had a large number of mountain bluebirds out there in the west side of the Mendenhall. And if they're still around, maybe we'll see some. They're beautiful, just glowing baby blue birds. And those and some geese. Besides Canada geese, we might see white-fronted geese and snow geese.
Okay.
And if we're really lucky, we might see a sandhill crane. There's been one or two hanging around
out
there.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just remind me, what time is the walk start tomorrow?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And where do I park again?
The end of Industrial Boulevard.
Okay.
It's pretty pothole bumpy road towards the end, but you'll know you're there when your car starts shaking from all the throttles.
And, of course, you can go to JunoAudubon.org to find all of the upcoming walks as well.
Yes.
And do you have any other presentations? I know you mentioned May 9th you're going to be having something.
Yeah, that's a special event because of Global Migration Day.
Right.
But next weekend is one of the Berners Bay trips, and then we'll be doing birds every Saturday after that.
Okay. And the Berners Bay, is that the cruise that you do?
Yes, uh-huh.
Is that a fundraiser, basically?
Yes, that's our main fundraiser for the Juno Audubon.
Okay, and that's like is that full yet, or can people still go?
Oh,
to
Oh no,
Juneau,
there's
Ottawa?
Still tickets available.
Okay, and you do it like once or twice, right?
Yes, We just did one in April, and now we're doing one in May.
Okay, I see. So you do a couple of them in the spring.
Yeah, we're trying to coordinate with the hooligan and herring runs because that attracts so many birds.
I see. Okay, and Doug, what got you into birding? How did this begin for you? I'm just curious.
Gosh, so. A little over 50 years ago, at the end
That's
of high
fun
school,
to say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. At the end of high school friend gave me a bird book.
Oh,
and I was thinking, so I'm going to go out with the little ladies in tennis shoes. You know, I wasn't real keen on it, but I gave it a try, and took my bird book and a pair of binoculars, and I was out in a field, and I saw what I came to know was a rose-breasted grosbeak, and I was hooked. It was just so cool to be able to see this bird and match it up with what was in the bird book. I realized, hey, you know, this is a whole world of exploration and wonder out here. These birds were amazing. And that got me hooked, and I ended up doing bird research after college and for a number of years. And
wow.
Now retired, I spend a lot of time bird watching.
You spent okay, but and you so what's the most? I guess you've been cataloging birds for 50 years. That's amazing.
A little like, more than that. Actually.
A little, and we'll stick with 50. That's good. A little over 50. Okay, yeah. Over 50 years. What's the? Can you out of all those years? Is there something that like? What's the rarest bird that you've ever encountered?
Oh gosh, I don't know. You know, we get a lot of rare birds occurring here in Juneau,
yeah.
Which is really fun because we're on a migration pathway.
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
So it's really cool to see. But it was just a few weeks ago we had a little gull, which is well-named because it's the smallest gull in the world, and it was seen over there at Dipak.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of the avid bird watchers gathered there on a bright, sunny morning, and we were all able to see it. It was pretty cool.
When you think about this, I've asked Brenda this question before, but like when you think about it, Doug, like – if somebody was to want to get into birding, right? What's the first thing that you would recommend? Because you said, like, you went out your first time, you saw this bird, you matched it up with something in the book. And I know Brenda's talked about there's apps now. There's all these different things you can do, sounds. You can record it, and it'll tell you what it is. But, like, what is the thing that gets you hooked? What is that sort of, like, if I was to want to bird, what would you tell me to do?
I'd say get a pair of binoculars and go out either on your own or with somebody who is maybe more experienced, and just start looking at birds. And it's just amazing when you use binoculars what you can see and just how colorful and intricate the feathers are on a lot of these birds. And the habits, watching them, they're amazing to watch.
Does it take patience?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I feel like it would have maybe a little bit of patience, but then also, like, the idea of really being in nature too, right? Like, you're out there, you're just sort of communing with nature, and you're watching it happen. Like you said, you're watching the patterns of these birds and what they're doing, the behavior.
Yes, and we're fortunate here in Juneau because we have a lot of easy access to great places to go bird watching.
Yeah, that are
off the road for a little bit, and you don't have all the traffic, and you can hear the birds singing. And right now, it's just a fantastic time for people to start bird watching.
Oh man, spring is here. It's so good. Yeah. What's the furthest you've ever gone away from Juneau to bird watch, Doug?
Well, a friend gave us free passage on an Antarctic trip. My wife and I.
Nice.
You asked about the farthest.
That's pretty far.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I love that. Brenda, everything's happening over there at JunoAudubon.org. You can get the full event of schedule. It's tomorrow at 8 a.m. You're going to park at the end of Industrial Road. You're going to meet there, right? Sort of where's the starting point?
Yeah, right at the parking lot. We'll gather there, and if somebody needs binoculars, we're going to have some there to share out. And I want to recommend folks wear boots. It can be a little wet out there.
Oh, sure.
Even though there's a dry path, we may want to get out on the wetter parts to go look at some birds that are off the gravel path.
Right. Because it's still, even though we're almost there, but there's still a lot of that ice melting and things like that. The snow is melting. But that's so great. Doug Woodby, Brenda Wright from the Juneau Audubon Society about this spring walk happening tomorrow. And we'll hear from Brenda again soon about more events that are coming up. I really appreciate you both coming in today. And Doug, for telling us a little bit about your history.
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah. And before we leave, Brenda, I know I mentioned those apps. What's the best app for somebody to pick up to get started in birds?
Merlin Bird ID is really, really excellent for a beginner. They let you not only take a photo and it'll identify it, or record and identify it, and or just five simple questions, and they'll tell you the bird most likely that you're seeing in your town.
I love that. That's so good, because you used to have to page through the book, right? My grandma had the book, the great big giant book, and she loved birding. So anyway, really appreciate you being here today. Gunnar the Cheese, I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little more Taylor Dallas Vittick from her album released today, Cat and Mouse. This is Twice a Day.
Maybe I would never get you out of my head. But we're a platform away. We'll never know what could have been if only we were heading the same direction. And that's okay, 'cause I fall in love on the subway twice a day. That's okay, 'cause I fall in love on the subway twice a day.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I am joined now in the studio by Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer from the University of Alaska Southeast, which is having some exciting events this afternoon and this evening, which we did talk about on Wednesday with EDAW. But also, commencement's coming, and there was accreditation recently, and there's all kinds of things going on out of UAS. Dr. Palmer, how are you today?
Good. I'm so happy to be here. And
thank
yes,
you.
There are some exciting things going on at this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just remind folks today, if you're listening right now or even early this evening, you can still get out there. It's the Gathering of the Drums is happening.
Yep.
And then also, which is the 30th anniversary of the Native Student Center.
Yeah, the Native and Rural Student Center is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, and so we have a lot of great events planned for the year, but
yeah.
The Gathering of the Drums is something really significant that will start kind of honoring this 30th year.
I love it. And then there's the Native Student Art Showcase,
yep.
Which is up and going today, right?
Yes. So it's the Northwest Coast Showcase.
Right.
And it's on campus. It's from 4 to 5, so it's starting pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
And it is such a wonderful way to see all of the beautiful, beautiful, and meaningful things that our students and our faculty have created that are part of Northwest Coast Arts.
Yeah. Yeah, that Northwest Coast Arts program that you're getting out there, and just the Indigenous program, I was talking with this about with EDAW on Wednesday. Everything's just growing. It's really growing, and it's so fantastic to see. We were reminded on Wednesday, of course, that if you want to learn the Southeast languages, you can take those classes. You can audit them for free. But if you really want, you can get a degree
yes.
in Indigenous language as well as many other things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of our strengths at UAS and in Southeast Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But we are so committed to the three languages of Southeast Alaska that are Indigenous,
mm-hmm.
and we continue to teach them. But we also want to teach the art, the culture, the
yeah.
history. We really want to embrace this heritage. It's so important.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then, so what else is happening? I know we mentioned a bunch of things going on.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a little bit about accreditation.
Yeah.
So every 7 years, a team of visitors comes to our campus and assesses our effectiveness as an institution. So before the visit, we submit 100-page document. In fact, we submitted 2 documents. The team comes and confirms that what we said in the document is how we're actually functioning.
Mm.
And in turn, what happens is that we get re-accredited every 7 years, which means that we're meeting the highest standards for how we educate our students. So they were here last week, and it was a great visit. And in fact, we got several commendations from them.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, they commended us for our commitment and dedication to Alaska Native culture, heritage, art, tradition, and language. They also congratulated us on our assessment process. So assessment is really looking at the courses that you teach and the education that you offer and asking the question, are the students effectively getting what you want, what you want to give them, like critical thinking skills, and how do we show that? So we were commended for that.
That's great.
We were commended for our recent strategic planning process. We have a new strategic plan in place, and we were commended for really including everyone in our UAS community on that. And then finally, our faculty were commended. Their leadership in what's known as Faculty Senate was commended for their strength and responsiveness.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I know there's a whole academia world with faculty senates and different titles and all that stuff. It's so fun to think about. That's great. Yeah. And then graduation is coming up soon.
Oh, my gosh. We're so excited about graduation. This occurs on all three of our campuses. But this year in Juneau, our Juneau commencement will be at Centennial Hall.
Ooh, fun.
We've actually outgrown the rec center. And so this will be a real pleasure to make sure that everyone can attend and have seating and really enjoy the ceremony.
Oh, that's fun. And that's going to be on Sunday, May 3rd?
Sunday, May 3rd, and it begins at 2 p.m. And this year we're going to be honoring four individuals from Southeast Alaska who have just done such great work in our community.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed, I think somebody mentioned to me that Native graduation, which has a separate ceremony, is also going to be somewhere different as well. Usually it's been out at the library, right? But it's going to be, is it downtown here as well?
It is. It's going to be really close to Centennial Hall. It's going to be at the Jack.
Okay, at the Jack.
And so it starts at 11 a.m. And as it finishes, we work our way into the ceremony. So we're really, really excited.
Oh, so both are on the same Sunday, May 3rd. So the Native graduation at 11, and then the main or big student population over there at Centennial Hall.
They can just walk over to Centennial Hall.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really great. Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited. Here in Juneau, we're going to have about 120 students walk across the stage. For the very first time, we are honoring occupational endorsement certificates in addition to our regular certificates, our associate's degrees, our bachelor's degrees, and our master's degrees.
Wow, that's pretty great. Is that a pretty good number of graduates, the 120?
Yeah, it's definitely it goes up every single year. And if you think about how many credentials we are offering, you know, just in Juneau, people have earned 402 different credentials.
Whoa.
And across all three of our campuses, it's 566. So a lot of great credentials, you know, ranging from certificates to graduate degrees.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I know that spring is here, but I know that summer is coming, right?
Yes.
So we have to start thinking about, hey, what could I be? Maybe I want to take a class this summer.
Oh, my gosh. I would really encourage people to take some summer courses. So our first summer session begins pretty soon on May 18th.
And quick.
Yeah, and then we have some sessions that begin in the middle, and summer session ends on August 4th.
Okay.
And so I want to mention some of the cool classes you could take.
Yeah. So get me excited, Aparna.
Okay, all right. I will. So you could take basic welding and intermediate welding this summer. I have always wanted to take welding. Like,
it would be so cool.
Just not enough time in the world to learn everything that you would like to learn. So
you just spoke a truth right there. That's so true. There's so many things I would love to do, but yeah.
And then outboard motor maintenance.
Oh yeah.
So you know. The Yamaha company has provided some support for this. We actually have a class starting tonight. It's just a weekend class.
Oh, wow.
But we will have some classes in the summer. Ocean diving.
Ocean diving?
Yes. If you want to improve your scuba skills, you have that. Intro to Creative Writing by our wonderful poet, Emily Wall.
Yeah, I love Emily.
An intro to business class, which actually forms one of three classes for an occupational endorsement in basic business foundation skills.
Okay.
a course about the Vietnam War and society and the Silk Road.
Is that by the teacher who went? Wasn't there a traveling thing that happened with that a while back?
Yes. So about a year and a half ago, she and our dean took students to Vietnam.
Yeah.
And she's back this summer.
That's great.
And she's looking to offer a couple of great courses.
Wonderful.
And then if you're interested in Northwest Coast Arts, weaving, intermediate and advanced Northwest Coast woolen weaving. And, of course, language classes.
Yeah.
So we're really
excited.
The
language classes are in the summer, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good. And you can take classes at the university. There's no, like, I don't have to qualify to enroll. It's open enrollment, right?
It's an open enrollment institution, which I'm very proud of. My entire career, I have worked in open enrollment institutions. And so you can come in as what is known as a non-degree seeking student and, take a class or two.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can choose to work on one of our credentials. But we just welcome you, and summer is a great time to take some courses.
Yeah, just take a class, try it out, see if you want to get back into it, maybe get a certificate or something.
Yeah, we're here to help you.
Yeah.
It's so, one of the things that I love about UAS is it is welcoming. We really want you to feel comfortable there. We want you to feel welcome. And we want to help you find that pathway to succeeding.
That's awesome.
It's all individual.
Well, you're welcome to Juno Afternoon anytime, Dr. Aparna Palmer. How many years has it been that you've been out at the university now?
So I will be completing my third year on June 19th.
Has it really been 3 years?
Yeah. So it's been about 2.5 years, but I will reach the end of that third year this June.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations on that accomplishment. It's almost like you're going to graduate soon.
Well, some of the students that I first met as freshmen, some of them are actually graduating this year. And in fact, our graduation speaker is someone that I met
as
a freshman, and he is graduating, and he's going to go into the Coast Guard.
I love it. That's so great. Dr. Aparna Palmer, Chancellor out at University of Alaska Southeast. Find everything we talked about and all the events going on at uas.alaska.edu.
I love that you know that. Thank you.
Gunashish for being here. Thank you.
Gunashish.
Here's a little more Taylor Dallas Fiddick from her album released today from Cat and Mouse. This is Better in Black.
Maybe next time. I've seen you before.
Oh, yeah. Some good guitar there. That's a little Taylor Dallas Vidic, Better in Black, from her album Cat and Mouse, which comes out today, which came out today. It's on all the streaming services. You can also find it everywhere you get your music. Support local musicians. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm Boston Christopher, and now I'm joined in the studio by Deputy Director of CBJ Parks and Rec, Lauren Varelli, and relatively new director.
Oh, yeah. I'm still new.
I guess it used to be the products they put on the shelf, you could be new for like up to a year, I think it was.
That's I'm giving myself like a year. So Lauren's giving me a year to put up with me as I learned this job.
So Mark Wheeler's here. As you know, former owner of Copa and made some awesome ice cream that everybody in town misses. You didn't bring me any ice cream today. I'm disappointed.
I told her that was my shtick, and I bring you ice cream.
But we do miss the ice cream market, is true. But you have this new job from CBJ Parks and Rec, and we've walked into a lot of good things in the Parks and Rec department, and we're talking about Walk Southeast first. Yeah. And this is something that's been going on for the last few years, Lauren.
Yeah, it's the seventh annual, actually.
And I think didn't Juno win last
year?
We did win last year. So tell everyone who doesn't know about what Walk Southeast is.
Yeah. So Walk Southeast is a virtual challenge starting May 1st through September 1st. It's a four-month challenge to see how far you can walk across Southeast Alaska. So the goal is to make it from Juneau to Ketchikan, which is 297 miles away. So we got some checkpoints along the way. And
hold on a second. You mean I have to actually walk 297 miles?
You're going to try to walk it, but
I don't have to walk to Ketchikan.
Yeah, no. You can stay in Juneau and walk all the way to Ketchikan.
All right. Explain how that works.
Yeah, so you could just track your walks around your neighborhood or on a hike or if you're, run at the gym on a treadmill. All those mileages count.
Okay.
You can use a traditional paper tracker or we have an app, My Virtual Mission, which is sponsored by Gold Belt. And it, connects to your watch and then you just start a walk on your watch and then once you're done, it automatically uploads.
It all syncs up automatically?
Yeah, it's magic.
That's awesome. What was that app called?
It's called My Virtual Mission.
My Virtual Mission. And of course, all this is going to be available at cbjparks.org,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Or whatever it is. WalkSouthEast.org. It has all the details and where
Walk
you can register.
Okay.
The walking starts on May 1st, which is next Friday.
Yeah.
But registration does go through May 10th. So
okay, it goes through May 10th. So you do have to register. You can't register in the middle of the summer and try to catch up. You got to be part of the crew at the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning.
Okay.
We have checkpoints throughout. If you hit 150 miles, then you get entered into the Alaska Airlines drawing, which is two free round-trip tickets anywhere in North America.
Love it.
Which is really exciting. And then for our local prizes, we have the Amalga Cabin, which everyone is eager to win.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Eagle Crest gave us nights at their cabin for some winners and some other great prizes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So do I get a prize just for entering or do I have to...
You actually have to walk.
But do I get a t-shirt or something?
You could buy a t-shirt.
Buy a t-shirt. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
If you walk to Echo Cove, which is 40 miles away, that's a ticket to the drawing. So you do have a chance to win.
So you got
to
walk at least 40 miles.
Yeah,
it's all drawings. WalkSoutheast.org has all the details, right? And I'm going to be registering before May 10th.
Yes.
Okay.
Preferably May 1st, before May 1st, so then you can get those 10 days of walking.
You got it. Yeah, that's true.
It's a bit, right? 297 miles?
Yeah. I haven't made it to the end ever, but a lot of people do. There are some.
How many participants have we had doing this? Because this isn't just for Juno.
Yeah.
Anyone in Southeast can participate, right?
Yeah, it's Southeast-wide. So anyone, we have a challenge against Sitka and Petersburg and Ketchikan. We have
competition.
So anyone in Southeast Alaska can register to walk. Last year, we had over 1,500 people participating.
Wow.
I think we have over 1,000 people registered so far.
Whoa.
So
it's so cool because you can do it with your family, mm-hmm. you can get your kids out, and then you have the goal, and
We have actually this year we're excited to launch as a junior trekker. So this is for the kids, anyone under 12, they have their own little challenge. They're trying to walk 83 miles to Gustavus, so they have their own prize.
Oh.
And when you do complete it, you get a t-shirt.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So we're excited about having more opportunities for the kiddos. And then another thing we've been hearing from participants is they want extra challenge. And so we're launching the Summit Series this year, which is a monthly challenge to see how the elevation you make it. So you are going to try to, like the first month you're going to try to climb Mount Edgecombe, which is 3,200 feet. So you just track your elevation from your watch or
your watch
tracker.
Or your treadmill or whatever
And see if you can make it to the top. And then it just starts it starts over each month and you have a new elevation.
What's the biggest mountain we're going to climb?
I can't remember which one it was. I know Devil's Thumb is up there.
Oh, wow.
I think Devil's Thumb is actually the third one. I'm not sure what the fourth one is.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and there's their own prizes for that, too.
And there's prizes for the summit as well. Okay, that's really cool.
Lots of prizes.
Walk Southeast. Get yourself involved. Over 1,000 people already registered. Mm-hmm. You got till May 1st. Well, really, May 1st it starts, but you have until May 10th. But don't delay.
Don't delay. Get out and walk. We just want
get
people to hit the trails
today.
And get walking.
Don't
it's
delay.
All free.
Walk
it's
today.
Free to participate.
It's all free. It's a great community event, great family event as well. So, Mark, I want to talk to you a little bit about this new gig. So when did you start as the director of Parks and Rec?
Right at the beginning of November of last year.
Okay.
So it's been about 6 months.
Almost 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're getting your feet wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
The department is huge.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot going on. So
tell me a little bit about what that first couple months was like. Like, were you just like hit with all of the... Did you realize how big it was?
No. They told me. It's like you do parking, you do parks, you do all the facilities. But we also do facility maintenance for all the city buildings. There's like 44 buildings around the borough.
Oh, wow.
And we have all these projects we're working on. And the first thing I got to participate in is the budget process. That was like, you know, pretty quick in the job. So it's been a pretty big learning curve. But I have a great team. Lauren and our team are really strong and have a lot of patience for me. But
yeah, didn't I read recently like you started work on the Marine Park renovation, right?
Yeah,
and that's separate from some of the other things that are in the news these days, right?
Yeah.
There's separate money for that.
Marine
passenger money, which helps to – that's a whole thing about the budget process. You're talking about budget. Like it's there's so many pieces to it. It's so complicated. Like there's different – parcels of money and all the news that people are reading about on KTO.org and Juneau Independent, everything going on in town. That's about the general fund that is going on. The marine passenger fees do something completely different, like help with the marine park renovation, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
So is that already – that started?
That started, and the construction will go through April 2027.
April – oh, so about a year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be cool. So we're going to see some effects of that over the summer. Will we see that?
You can see it now.
You can see it now.
They're ripping out all the concrete because we're going to do a really cool form line design that Rico Whirl designed of two salmon.
Ooh, cool. Yeah.
It's kind of similar to the one you'll see in other parts of downtown.
Yeah. But
is it going to affect the tourism season at all? Like how?
We'll have directional signage that banners will be going up on the fencing shortly, but the current path is around it, and you'll go hit Marine Way to get like towards the wharf, and then. In about mid-June, it'll be flopping, and then
can
continue along the seawalk to the wharf.
That's going to be beautiful when it's all done.
Yeah,
such a great piece of land down there.
Yeah.
So before we end today, Mark, I do want to make sure we talk a little bit about what's going on in the world, in the news, in the current environment. There's a lot of information out there that people are reading stories on. There's public documents that are out there. What do you want to say about the process?
About the budget process?
Yeah.
It's tough. The Assembly has some really difficult decisions to make over the next couple weeks. And so far they've been going through and they each got to nominate some service level reductions for across the city. And so they just started looking at that list and they're going to be looking at that list over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, Parks and Rec is getting talked about as potentially closing one of the pools, closing our field house. And so it's been stressful for the staff and for
welcome to your new job.
But you know, there's opportunities for the public to be involved. There was a survey done, but there's also public meetings, and the next one is next Wednesday night at 5:30. The Assembly's gonna have a public hearing on the budget. And it's just been kind of rewarding to see all the people who've come out in support of of our facilities. You know, these are facilities that, you know, teach people how to swim. It's a safety concern, but also, you know, having indoor recreation in Juneau with our weather is just really important for people's physical health, mental health, and just, you know, building this community. So it's been grateful to see that support out there, and the assembly is going to take till the end of their process, which they have to make a decision by May 27th.
Oh, wow. That's not too long from now. I guess that's about a month from
now. About a month, yeah.
Wow. And so I guess, yeah, Mark mentioned next Wednesday there'll be a public meeting. People can make public commentary. And if you can't get there for your 2 minutes, you can also write in, and you can go to juno.gov, and you can find out how to do all that. Write in your comments about what's going on in the budget process. That's what you need to do. So I'm curious, Mark, besides all that, what's been the biggest surprise for you as the new director of CBJ Parks and Rec? I know the largesse of it is big.
Yeah, our budget's $20
million. Wow.
It's a big department. We have almost 400 positions, about 100 FTEs, so it's enormous. But then the work is very complicated, and stuff that you don't see behind the scenes that makes this community work, like getting our ball fields ready, is a huge task. Like, we spent 2 weeks clearing the snow off of a Derek Kennedy soccer field.
Wow.
And these are things that happen that people don't realize. But we have so many projects going on, from little small projects like we're restoring the totem and the screen in front of Augustus Brown Pool, to the Marine Park project, to we have a OHV park we're building 35 miles out the road.
Oh, wow.
We're having Seguye Park that's going to be open this summer. Lots of playgrounds being rebuilt. There's just so much going on in the department. It's a lot to get your mind around, but it's all good. It's all
well. You've
just
still
great.
Got 6 months to be new, but you, as an audience, have about a week to go to register for Walk Southeast, which is beginning May 1st, and it goes through when, Lauren? Does it go through the end of the
walking? Goes through September 1st.
September 1st, and you got to walk 297.
Yeah.
297.
Most just want to hit 150 to get those last airline miles.
Get those miles in.
So it's like 75 miles a month.
Yeah.
Right?
Something like that, yeah.
That's doable.
Get out there. Get out there. I mean, it's beautiful weather. It's time to start, right? Go to walksoutheast.org to find out all information about that. You can also go to CBJ Parks and Rec. Just Google, put that in your favorite search engine. Or I think it's cbjparks.org, right? Don't you guys have that website now? Don't you have a shorter version?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know there's like cbjpools.org.
Yeah, CBJ Parks is our handle on socials.
Okay,
so you got a lot of stuff on Instagram and Facebook. There's a lot of stuff going on. You can register for the Diamond Dash Triathlon by this Sunday.
So
there's
wow.
just tons of stuff going on. Check us out online.
Thank you so much. It's great to have Lauren Varelli and Mark Wheeler here from the CBJ. That's Juno Afternoon for this week. Take care, everybody. Gunath Sheesh. Have an awesome weekend.